Solomonster back with a review for Halloween Kills. This is one that we had to wait an extra year for because of the pandemic. The sequel to the 2018 Halloween, which was a direct follow-up to John Carpenter's original from 1978, ignoring all of the sequels that came after it. I love the 2018 movie. I thought it did as good of a job as any of the sequels trying to recapture the spirit of the original, and the fact that it ignored all of the sequels was a plus. I think it's scarier not knowing why he killed his sister when he was 6 years old and then went on this killing spree years later, instead of Laurie Strode being revealed to be his sister, and here he is now going to kill off what's left of his bloodline. I think it's scarier the other way. It also had that great John Carpenter score to it. I really enjoyed it, and I had ranked it number 3 all time behind the original and Season of the Witch as my personal favorite of all the Halloween movies. So I really wanted to love this one too, and sadly, I did not. Although I would still take it over the whole Thorn story from Part 6, or the heaping pile of shit that was Resurrection. It wasn't all bad, but this was just a more violent, dumbed-down version of the 2018 film. I did like the fact that I was able to stream this on Peacock. Yeah, it didn't look like it hurt the movie much in theaters. It pulled in over $50 million this weekend. You know, look, people just love their slasher movies. It's why I have every expectation that that new Scream movie is going to do very well when it comes out in January. But if it keeps pulling numbers like that, $50 million in one weekend, I mean, that's down from what the first movie did a few years ago. But I think given the whole situation with the world and movie theaters right now, that's still a hell of a number. So if it keeps pulling numbers like that, I think Halloween Ends is going to be followed by Halloween 4, Just Kidding, and Halloween 5. No, really, we promise, this is the end. That's what's coming up. There are some spoiler notes in here. They're unavoidable here for my review. So if you have not seen the movie yet and you want to go in fresh, you have been warned. This would be a good place to stop and then you can come back later. The sequel picks up where the 2018 one left off with Laurie, her daughter, and her granddaughter leaving Michael Myers to die in a burning basement 40 years after the events of the original. I like that they included more characters from the original beyond Laurie. I think pretty much all of them don't make it out of the film alive. Anthony Michael Hall plays Tommy Doyle, who Laurie babysat in the original. So no Paul Rudd for this one. Lindsay, who was 9 years old in the original, she's back and all grown up now. Lonnie was the kid who bullied Tommy and told him the boogeyman was coming to get him. You know, it was a minor part in that movie, but they resurrected the character here in this one with a different actor, now 40 years older and with a son of his own who happens to be dating Laurie's granddaughter. Nurse Marion is back. She was one of the first two people we ever saw in the opening scene of that very first Halloween movie in the car with Dr. Loomis on their way to Smith Grove the night they found out that Michael had escaped. And they brought back Sheriff Brackett, now working as a security guard at Haddonfield Memorial Hospital. There are flashback scenes to 1978 that they filmed that I thought were well done. They even had some of that graininess, a little bit of that graininess to them. But the thing that blew me away, and this is maybe the biggest compliment I can pay to this movie, was how they brought Donald Pleasance back to life as Dr. Loomis. There's a flashback with a cop who was on scene that night in 78, and Loomis walks into the house. I figured it had to be CGI. It wasn't CGI. It was good old-fashioned practical effects, which I love. Yeah, I think there's a place for CGI in movies, but the practical effects in a lot of those horror movies in the 70s and the 80s, that's scarier and more disturbing than a lot of the CGI stuff that we see. Kind of like in The Thing, for example. I've always loved the practical effects in The Thing from 82. But there's a special effects artist, Christopher Nelson, who worked on the film, he posted photos on his Instagram of what Loomis looked like in the movie up close. And it is unbelievable how realistic it looks. They used 11 pieces of prosthetic makeup with hair pieces placed over the head of their construction foreman, who they have a little picture of the construction foreman, and he looks enough like Donald Pleasance, or at least has the same kind of, you know, bald head, that with the makeup on, you would think you just stepped into a time warp. No CGI needed. I love it. You may have noticed in the movie, they use the old silver shamrock masks from Part 3, like on the victims in the playground scene. That was a nice little homage to Season of the Witch, which gets unfairly maligned because it is not a Michael story, but it is still one of my favorites. But it's called Halloween Kills, so that gives you a sense of what to expect going into this thing. If you just want to see Michael killing people in gruesome, brutal ways, and nothing else really matters to you, then you'll enjoy this movie. As far as brutality, I will give them credit. They definitely delivered on that. The original Halloween, it was less about the blood and the gore, and it was more about the tension and the sense of dread and fear of the shape. In fact, there was no blood in the first movie, and the kill count is relatively low. Now, in the 2018 sequel, there's more blood and gore, and the kill count is higher, but not obscenely so. You still had that sense of creepiness. This movie felt like something closer to the Rob Zombie films, and it set a record for the highest number of kills in a Halloween film, 30 plus in this movie. So really, it comes down, I think, to your personal taste. Do you prefer the tension and the creepiness of the old movies, or do you prefer the splatterhouse kills that you get in a lot of the other slasher movies? I just never saw Halloween the way that I saw Jason, ripping people apart in the Friday the 13th movies. I thought they went a little overboard with it here. I understand where the writers were coming from, you know, after all that happened in the first movie where Michael was left to burn to death in that house. Now he comes out and he's really, really pissed off. I would be too. So the second film was Michael going on a complete rampage, right? If the first film was reestablishing the story with Michael and Laurie, the second film was Michael just going out of his mind and killing anything and everything that breathes. And the third movie would close out the story once and for all, which I think is the basic plan for this trilogy. So I get that. I get the concept. But I just think it didn't work for me in execution. No pun intended. The stupidity of the people in that town. I have to talk about this. The stupidity of the people in this movie almost makes this a comedy. It was like one giant slasher movie cliche. You know, the worst part was the escaped mental patient. There's a little side story in this movie. And, you know, in the bar scene, there's a scene in a bar. There's like a breaking news report, I think, about the two escaped mental patients who are on the loose. The worst part was the patient who picked the worst possible time to escape, because everybody in the hospital thinks that it's Michael Myers. In their panic and paranoia, I guess, they believe this man to be Michael Myers. I didn't know Michael was short and fat. I mean, I guess that's what happens when you age. You get shorter and you get fatter. Michael would have to be what? It's 40 years later, so he'd be in his 60s? Or late 50s, maybe? But it just came off so goofy to me. So many of the people in this movie were too stupid to live. Michael did them a favor. He spared them a lifetime of embarrassments. After the angry mob at the hospital end up causing Mr. Mental Patient to jump to his death, I found myself rooting for Michael at the end. When he's surrounded by the mob, they killed an innocent man. They caused him to jump to his death. So they got what they had coming to them. And then there's the little twist near the end, where Laurie is in the hospital. And we don't get to see much of Laurie in this movie. This movie was a respite from Laurie Strode. So we had more of her in the first movie. I assume we'll have more of her in the third. This one, she kind of took a backseat to her daughter and her granddaughter and everybody else. But there is a scene in this movie. Laurie is in the hospital. She's sharing a room with Deputy Hawkins, who barely survived the first film. In fact, at the beginning of this one, he's found lying in the street, clinging to life, right? Bleeding from the neck, but he survived. And he was rushed to the hospital here in this movie. And in this scene, she explains that, you know, Michael is basically not a human anymore. Now, you kind of think that anyway if you watch these movies, just based on all the abuse he takes, and yet he never dies. But this is the first time they really introduce the idea of Michael being this almost supernatural being. Like, he's like a mythical figure who gets stronger the more he kills. Goes back to what I loved about the first one, though. Both first ones. The first one in this series and the original. He's not supernatural. Now he is. And that changes the whole basis of this movie. It's like Jason going to fucking space. But they had to do it here with the abuse he takes in this film, the way he gets attacked by the mob, when they circle him and they're beating him with ball bats and all kinds of weapons. How else would you explain the way he recovers so quickly? So now that they've introduced this paranormal element to him, It just makes it a different movie. I really wanted to love this. I'm a Halloween guy. I'm not expecting it to win any Academy Awards, although I think they should at least be nominated for one for the makeup job they did with Loomis. But as I said earlier, what we ended up with is really just a more violent, dumbed-down version of the last film. It's not the worst of the franchise, but whereas the last one I would say is in the top tier, this one is closer to the bottom than it is to the top. Now, the two sequels, Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends, were not filmed back-to-back, as some people seem to think. The director says the script is done for the next movie. He's just waiting on final notes from John Carpenter. So they haven't even started filming yet. It has a release date already of October 14th of next year. So they're going to have to get cracking on that soon. It is supposedly being set 4 years after the events of this movie, with Laurie's daughter being killed at the end of this. It's not a case where Laurie finds out her daughter is dead and then runs out that night, you know, seeking revenge. So there's going to be a gap. How they fill that gap is going to be very interesting. And, you know, I mentioned Hawkins, the Hawkins story that they introduced in this movie, in the flashback to 78. Where he was one of the responding officers the night that Michael went on his big massacre. And that night, he had multiple chances to try to shoot him and kill him, and he missed, and he actually shot his partner by accident. And then when the cops and Loomis finally corner him outside the house, and Loomis is about to shoot him, he's about to shoot him in the head, Hawkins stops him, because in his mind, Michael was just a kid in a man's body. He saved Michael's life. And now he blames himself for all of the death and the destruction that Michael has caused over all these years, because if he would have just let Loomis shoot him that night, this all could have been avoided. Given that story that he told, I don't think he'll be the one to finally put Michael down in the next movie. I think Laurie will. But I assume he's going to have a key role in Michael's downfall. However that comes about in the next movie. To complete this redemption arc that they've now given him. We'll see. Whatever happens, I'll be there to see it. Just because I didn't like this one as much as the last one does not mean they can't rebound for the finale. Laurie has to cut his head off. Otherwise, he's invincible. She cut his head off at the end of H2O. But then in Resurrection, we found out that it really wasn't him under the mask. So I guess it didn't count. Anyway, those are my thoughts. Let me know yours. And I will see you guys back here real soon. Take care.